It's so good to be with you this morning. And I greet you in the name of our Redeemer, who is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living Father of all creation. Can you imagine that in your mind? And Jesus Christ is whom I am here to represent and to bear witness of this day. I present him to you now. You know, as I thought about all the many years, all the many events, the many sacrifices that the Lord's people have gone through over the many hundreds of years and thousands of years that lead us up to this day in the latter days that precede his great day of return. I just can't really imagine the great sacrifices that have gone into his work to bring us to this point. And our Heavenly Father has poured out upon me and my life overwhelming testimony that He is real, that He is unfathomable in His power. And yet He would lower Himself to reach down and to touch each of our lives if we call on Him. I have a question for you. I know that this is a special setting. It's so good to see all of you here today. My question is, have you come already prepared? Could I sit down right now? Are you prepared to partake of the emblems even now? I would think so. I hope that the words that I say might help you come even closer and more prepared. However, the words that I share with you today are not the focus of this service. Very much secondary to what we're about to do when we reach our hand out in faith and partake of those emblems. The Lord speaks from the dust the words of truth that continue to ring through all out the ages. His truth above all other. And by the still small voice of the Holy Comforter that He's given each of you that have gone down into the waters of baptism. And He's spoken to us not only by that still small voice, but the mighty thunder of His word that can come in so many different ways. And His testimony comes to us in His own time, of His own choosing, and in His wisdom. Brothers and sisters, I realized in my preparation once again that you are of His house of Israel that He speaks of so often. I'm so thankful to be yoked up with you and your faith and your commitment to Him. And the Lord speaks to us today through His servants. One of those is from the prophet Jeremiah, who lived around 600 B.C. These simple words I'd like to share with you, a promise. From the 29th verse of Jeremiah, chapter of Jeremiah, the 13th verse. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I challenge us to seek Him with all our heart today and in the days to come. And we're at this hour, at the beginning of this reunion, as Brother Bill said, for only one purpose. We can think of all kinds of reasons to be here, but this hour, we're here to remember Christ, pure and simple. And the year about 34 after Christ's death, Jesus had been rejected of His own people after all His miracles and healings and the ministry that He brought those people, His contemporaries, and stayed with them for 40 days after His resurrection from the cross. One extremely important thing that He showed His servants before He left was this special way that we observe today on how to remember Jesus Christ. And then He would show Himself to the people all across the whole earth, halfway around the earth, the people of Nephi. And I'd like to explain, I used to wonder, how could Christ go to the Heavenly Father and then come across the world and come back down and visit others? How does that happen? And I have a great testimony I'd like to share with you from my wife's Uncle Eddie Butterworth that he shared with us many years ago. What a man of service to our Lord, and I trust his word. And as he told us this testimony, it rang true to me. For he was lifted up out of his bed, and he could see where he was and where he was going. And as he was taken up, after great sacrifice in his life, great study, petitioning the Heavenly Father for His insight, so the Lord took him up. And he said he traveled through space at an extremely high rate of speed. And he said he was taken to a place in an instant that he knew without a doubt he saw the Holy Mount where the Lord resides. And then he explained to me how that Holy Mount can go anywhere in the universes as quickly as it needs to. It can come as close as right above us. It dealt with Moses on the mountain where God conversed with Moses, and Moses stepped across onto that Holy Mount, and how it was encircled in clouds, and the people down at the bottom of the mountain could not see but the clouds. It's on the other side of the veil, you see, but it can come so close to us. And he explained all these things to me, and I thrilled and marveled in that vision that he was able to endure. And then he was placed back on this earth. I want you to understand the way that the Lord can go through space, a way that's been created that he can travel and go and visit others. These people that we speak of in the third book of Nephi, that he went to visit, because you see, he had a mission to go visit them too. And from the seventh chapter, I'm sorry, the fifth chapter of Nephi. This is after the great destruction. This is after they had been humbled completely. Verse 7 through 14, speaking of these folks in this setting. And their eyes were toward the sound thereof, and they did look steadfastly toward heaven, from whence the sound came. You see, they had a sound come to them. And behold, the third time they did understand the voice which they heard, and it said unto them, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified in my name, hear ye him. And it came to pass, as they understood, they cast their eyes up again towards heaven, and behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven. And he was clothed in white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them. And the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him, and they durst not open their mouths, even one to another, and wist not what it meant. For they thought it was an angel that had appeared to them. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and spake unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of whom the prophets testified, should come into the world. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world, and I have drunk out of that bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, the whole multitude fell to the earth, for they remembered that it had been prophesied among them that Christ should show himself unto them. After his ascension into heaven. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise and come forth unto me, that ye may thrust your hands into my side, and also that ye may feel the prints of the nails in my hands and in my feet, that ye may know that I am the God of Israel and the God of the whole earth, and have been slain for the sins of the world. What a glorious example for us today as we prepare. His obedience to our Father in heaven stands alone. And how could we ever honor him, give him enough glory and thanks? How could we? My greatest hope for this hour is that the Holy Spirit of promise will take its place in your soul as we prepare to partake. For you see, we've built up thick walls in our souls and our minds many times. And I hope that his Spirit can break through those thick walls and to bring him ever close to us, to feed us with his cleansing power, to make us clean vessels, not only for this week, but for the great and glorious day that lies ahead. For the completion of his great plan of restoration for this earth, for his creation, for us, even to celestial glory. So I ask the question, what if we were in such a state that Christ would appear to us today as we prepared to partake of his broken body and spilt blood? Would it help us believe more? if he would call out to you or to me and call us up to him to feel those prints of the cross? Would you go to him? What an opportunity we have this morning to call upon our Heavenly Father, to remember His Son by partaking of the bread and the wine. He is offering us a unique opportunity today to be a life-changing experience to those who have gone down into the depths of humility and have become worthy to partake of those emblems. Worthy because of your faith, your repentance, and your baptism. Remember, no matter where you are at this point in your life, the promise of the Comforter, that He will not leave us comfortless. And in your darkest hours or your brightest hours, you can always call upon Him. Christ is why I stand before you today, because He's changed my life and set me on a course to follow after Him. Here is Christ. He pleads to us in His own words from the third book of 3 Nephi, chapter 4, verse 51. And this is after that great destruction on the land that made the people to know that Christ had been crucified. "Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, will I receive. For of such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life and have taken it up again. Therefore, repent and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved." And again, Christ, the greatest testimony of the Lord, offers to us of the plan of restoration. He said, "Father, Thy will be done," as He hung upon that cruel cross. "And the glory be Thine forever and ever." And those were the words of Christ to His Father, words of covenant. We are the Lord's covenant people also, if we remain faithful to Him. The gift of repentance and forgiveness that the Lord has placed within His gospel for our benefit carries within it eternal salvation. You know, it's so simple, but we always want to make it complicated. We can study and we can preach and talk all we want about faith and hope and charity. Of course, charity being the most important of all, the pure love of Christ. But without charity, nothing else really matters. But until we put it into action by loving each other as the Lord loves us, as the Lord loves us and is willing to forgive us through true repentance, charity cannot do its work in us. That would, if we implement the pure love of Christ in our lives this week, it could change a good reunion into a great reunion. The Lord is ever near to hear our petitions and offer us opportunities if we ask Him. He's waiting on us to seek Him out. He's waiting on us to bear our testimony in this last day that He's helped you with. As I said, it took many years for me to find my place with the Lord. But He has borne testimony to me so many times that has built my faith, I hope, to be unshakable. And when you wake up each morning this week and in the rest of the days of your life, I challenge you to call upon Him maybe before your eyes even open for the day, that you can that He will show you His mighty hand at work this day. And I give unto you this promise that He will, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Be strong in the Lord and His righteousness, and stand therefore in this way and see the salvation of our God in this precarious world we live in today. Because you see, after your testimony cometh wrath and indignation upon the people. For after your testimony cometh the testimony of earthquakes that shall cause groanings in the midst of the earth, and man shall fall upon the ground and shall not be able to stand. From Doctrine and Covenants, section 85, 25a. We are His covenant people if we follow Him. We are adopted into the true house of Israel that is His own. And with that, we become the receivers of His many promises to us. That's my hope for all of us. That this service has been carefully planned and prepared by our brother Bill through much preparation for this hour for the salvation of our souls. And we carefully follow the pattern the Lord has given us of the church of the firstborn. And those in this latter day who seek to maintain the integrity of all of His ordinances and do not attempt to change the pattern in them are grafted in. The emblems, these emblems in front of us are there to assist the Lord in bringing to pass the immortality and eternal life of each of us who worthily partake in a few moments. You know, there are two very different kinds of warfare waged on the earth: spiritual warfare and physical warfare. But physical warfare is where men are trying to destroy other men. And in spiritual warfare, we are trying to save men. The Lord stands at the door today and knocks. Will you be the one to open that door unto Him? And He will come into you and will sup with you, and you with Him. Brothers and sisters, as I've looked across your faces, I may not know every one of you, but that doesn't matter. You're here for the same reason I am, and I love you for that. people of Nephi that he came to visit. He healed the sick. He blessed the children, ordained his servants to their mighty work that stood ahead. And he preached mighty and great things that they were told not even to record. They were so great. He taught not for the glory to be his, but he taught for you and I and for our salvation. I'd like to read these few words from the third Nephi, chapter 7, verse 43 and 44. And when the words of the prophet Isaiah shall be fulfilled, which say, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. And then from chapter 8, the same book, I'd like to read 28 through 35. And it came to pass that Jesus commanded his disciples that they should bring forth some bread and wine unto him. And while they were gone for bread and wine, he commanded the multitude that they should sit themselves down on the earth. And when the disciples had come with bread and wine, he took of the bread and brake and blessed it. And he gave unto the disciples and commanded that they should eat. And when they had eaten and were filled, he commanded that they should give unto the multitude. And when the multitude had eaten and were filled, he said unto the disciples, behold, there shall be one ordained among you, and to him will I give the power that he shall break bread and bless it, and give it unto the people of my church, and to all those who shall believe and be baptized in my name. And this shall ye always observe to do, even as I have done, even as I have broken bread and blessed it and gave it unto you. We fulfill righteousness today. And this shall ye do in remembrance of my body which I have shown unto you, and it shall be a testimony unto you that ye do always remember me. And if you always do remember me, ye shall have my spirit to be with you. And then they performed the same with the wine. And I wanted to share this little bit from further on in this eighth chapter, from verse 69. And now I go unto the Father, because it is expedient that I should go unto the Father for your sakes. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of these sayings, he touched with his hand the disciples whom he had chosen, one by one, even until he had touched them all, and spake unto them as he touched them. And the multitude heard not the words which he spake, therefore they did not bear record, but the disciples bear record that he gave them power to give the Holy Ghost. And I will show unto you there hereafter that this record is true. And it came to pass that when Jesus had touched them all, there came a cloud and overshadowed the multitude, that they could not see Jesus. And while they were overshadowed, he departed from them and ascended into heaven. And the disciples saw and did bear record that he ascended into heaven. I hope we understand how important the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is, not only to our Lord, but to us as we remember him. I look forward to partaking of this sacrament with each of you. as we commune with our Heavenly Father. And if we remember Christ in everything you partake in this coming week, the promise is sure that His Spirit will always be with you. May God bless you now and in the days to come, is my prayer.